Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
We're constantly under the gun of having to make a quick decision.
From what I'm hearing from you, Commissioner, is this is another kick the can. For me to say that we don't have the information is, I don't agree with that at all.
Here's the facts. I found out Tuesday that it's $500,000 over. I don't know when y'all found out about it. I found out Tuesday. It's not in any backup. It's not in any type of document. It may make all the sense in the world. But I need a little bit more time if you're asking me to make $500,000, a $2.7 million decision.
This should be a really simple item on the agenda. Very simple. The explanation is there. And what I want to know is there an accusation that staff is withholding information from a commissioner? I just got to call it out for what it is, Commissioner Rowell. Time and time and time again, there's an agenda item that there is the request for, I need more time. I need more time. I need more time.
So, the issue at hand, if you haven't been listening all morning, and I know a lot of you are, you know, listening while you're in your car at your certain time, but you have this piece of property on Berry Hill Road that's part of the widening project, the need for drainage. It's 15 acres, and it was listed at 220. They're going to offer 2.2. They're going to offer 2.7. The appraisal is 2.9. It happened to be owned by the widow of Jim Williamson, the former commissioner, Jerry Williamson's dad. And there are other bidders involved, and there was kind of an email snafu that gave the county more information than they should have had. In any case, they're up against other bidders, and that was the explanation, is we think we can get it at 2.7. I suppose there's probably some goodwill that they're taking, from the commissioner's widow, you know, that she wants to do something good for the county as opposed to other developers just want to put houses on the project. Well, this had happened in between the Monday meeting for the committee meeting and the Thursday commission meeting. And Rhett Rowell had said, I need more time to process. I didn't have this information enough in a timely fashion. And both Kerry Smith and Colton Wright said, are you saying staff's not doing their job? And there was kind of the hint that he's not spending enough time in the office. He's not working hard enough. He's not able to make, you know, good decisions in a timely fashion. And Colton Wright is fed up. I mean, he's frustrated and irritated at this point, and he's letting it be known. And I should go into all of this telling you. We covered this, the first part of this, at the 6 o'clock hour today, if you want to go back and listen to the podcast. But I like all of these guys. I'm a fan of Colton Wright. I'm a fan of Rhett Rowell. I'm a fan of Kerry Smith. They're all good, smart people. They're trying their best. But I will say, I have noticed a little bit of a pattern that Rhett does want more time to make a decision. Now, I can't criticize that because I'm a slow decision maker, but I'm also not a commissioner. And I thought in this case, the decision made sense. I'm not sure what more he's asking for. But like I said, Colton has had enough at this point, and he's kind of laying into him.
I understand we don't always have times to we hear something and be able to go back to the people that are in our ears and have them tell us what to say and what to do. But by God, we should be able to, the five of us should be smart enough and have the ability to accept information, have our BS detector go off and say, does that sound right or does it not? Go back and ask for more information, consult the attorney, say, is this legal? And then use your sounding board of a couple different people out in the community that you know that you can trust from different sides of things and ask their opinion and make a sound decision.
So if Rhett isn't really making decisions fast enough and isn't doing his job of getting information from the administration, then the scolding is warranted. If he is doing those things, then the scolding is not warranted. And, you know, that's a little bit of a fact question, right?
This is once again a situation of be careful what you wish for. We don't buy this property. And there's part of me that wants to do it out of spite and say, be careful what you wish for. We don't buy the property today. We keep working on some design. And when it comes time that, oh, well, this is a property that's identified, and here's a property that's identified, you know what the cost is going to be? It's going to be more than it is today.
And part of that reason for the do it out of spite is because he made the point earlier that his folks in District 4 don't ever get up to Berry Hill Road for the most part. This is a North End issue. But I know Colton doesn't think that way. He's just frustrated, you know, which, again, if Rhett's being – and I have heard Rhett say this a couple times. Again, be clear. I like all of these guys. And as a slow decision maker myself, I'm not going to say somebody should be faster, but there's a cost to being slow at decisions. Because costs can go up, facts can change, you can lose a deal. If other developers are interested in this and you won't authorize a $2.7 million offer, maybe you lose the property, and then what?
We can either make the hard decisions to plan for the future now and stop doing what's happened in the past. We always talk about planning. We have an administrator and a team at the county that now more than ever has been focused on planning for the future. I think everyone would agree to that. And yet, time and time again, over this last year almost, we have things come to the board and we don't take the action to plan for the future. At some point, I think staff is going to get really tired of doing the work. And maybe we look around and do what some of the neighboring counties have done and just not plan. Just be reactionary to everything. Everything that comes, just react to it, put the fire out, and move on. Yeah, which way is wind blowing today? I don't know. I'm going to do the right thing on this one, regardless of my desire to want to do something out of spite. I'm still going to be a leader, but it's frustrating that this even is part of the conversation.
I rarely see Colton lose his temper. I rarely see it. And so I pay attention when it happens because it just doesn't happen all that often. Bobby Burkett, Commissioner for District 1.
Commissioner Morrell, I understand what you're saying. I found out on Monday evening about where it was. Mr. Administrator, what time did I come into your office Tuesday morning about this?
I don't remember the exact time, but right when I got here.
It was about the time you walked into office, if my memory serves me correctly. Okay. I had the question, same thing, Mr. Rao, why are we paying $500,000 more? You explained it to me as to why. Once it was explained to me, then I'm okay with this.
And that was kind of my reaction to this story, too, is, well, okay, I mean, I hate seeing $500,000 extra being paid, but it makes sense why. And it's an important parcel, and so there you go. The price is the price, or the price. Hopefully, the price is the price. And we'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John,
that's right. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, starting to see our construction delays this morning, about 7 to 9 minutes. Highway 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile Road, expect about a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Berry Hill widening is an important project. This parcel, though it's going to be more than we thought it was going to be, is an important piece of that puzzle, of that project. And the price is, you know, again, what we hope to get it for is less than the appraisal, but more than the asking price. And so, you know, it seems like a fairly straightforward decision, but Rhett Rahl has been kind of, you know, saying I need more time, kind of dragging his feet, and saying, implying that staff didn't provide enough documentation to him, to his satisfaction, which is what he's being called out on. And he's saying he didn't say that. But, you know, you can imply a thing without meaning to say it outright and kind of find out afterwards. Brad Baker, County Administrator.
And I would say to both of the commissioners, we can always do better in how we communicate. But just please let us know your questions, and we'll be happy to answer them. And, I mean, we are available. So I'm sorry if we failed to give you the right information you need. We will internally as a team work better to communicate with you, but I just ask y'all, ask the questions of us if we don't give you the information you want.
Well, if four commissioners got the information they need and only Rhett didn't, it's probably not staff isn't doing what they should be doing. I mean, let's be honest. So I don't know what the holdup. I don't know what the holdup is. I don't know what the problem is, but we're going to continue here. Almost done.
I was not throwing staff under the bus. I hope staff did not take it that way. all I mirror.
Well, if Brad Baker's stepping in and apologizing when he probably doesn't need to, then they did perceive it that way.
All I merely said was, and it seemed like we were really triggered. I mean, we were sitting on that trigger to get after it this morning, and that's fine. It's been a long morning. I get it. All I merely said was we've had one meeting this week. I found out on Tuesday, Commissioner Burkett found out on Monday, that we're paying $500,000 more than what is asked. I explained that I get the reasoning why. I just was merely saying I just wanted to know, was there any appetite with the board, and apparently there's not, to talk about this in a couple of weeks.
And he says, you know, look, we had the earlier issue with the septic to sewer where messaging has been a problem for us.
Guys, we had a whole room full of people here because they were upset with our messaging. Don't shoot the messenger for me saying we can do better. And again, I wasn't throwing staff under the bus.
I think that's got to be added to our list of things you drink whenever somebody says throw them under the bus or shovel ready or kick the can, you drink. We're already about 15 drinks in so far.
When they call me and they say, why are y'all doing this? And I said, no, it's 200 under the appraisal. And then I finally, after about the 15th person, well, let me call Jared on Tuesday. And then now we're here. So again, get mad at me. I don't understand all of that. This is not a personal thing. I don't understand why some of us get so personally upset about this stuff. But, you know, that's all I said. I didn't throw staff under the bus.
Drink.
And they know that.
Well, I don't know. Brad Baker said we can do better, which is kind of an acknowledgement that they took it as a criticism. You know, that they're the reason you can't make a decision this morning on this particular issue.
Apparently, the board doesn't have the appetite to wait. Okay, I get it. Thank you, staff. I appreciate it. If I wasn't specific in my questioning, can we get some, you know, we can talk as far as, you know, if I'm not, if I feel uncomfortable, I wasn't trying to throw you under the bus and say you weren't doing a good job. You're doing a great job. Okay. But I'm not going to listen to that. Okay. I'm not going to at least not explain my side. So thank you.
I know what I heard.
So then they voted.
All right. We got a proper first. A proper motion and a proper second. It's time to vote. All right, we got 4-1. This passes. All right.
There you go. So this was kind of the first real feudy moment, I think, for the new board without James Calkins on it that we've seen. I've seen a couple other high drama moments, but this was pretty involved. And again, you know, it's kind of funny because the online crowd who have got it in for Colton and Kerry, they viewed this as bullying. This was Kerry and Colton were bullying. And certainly they were criticizing. I mean, certainly. Which, again, it's a question of who's got the right of it. Is Rhett dragging his feet? Is he not, you know, getting the information he needs? Is he not being as prepared as he should be? Is he not willing to make decisions? Or are they just trying to have their way and, you know, push their weight around and get him to do what they want him to do? I mean, this is a 4-1 vote. This is a no-brainer. But you had the earlier delay on the 3-2 on the septic to sewer stuff. So just, you know, some of the stuff that's going on in Santa Rosa County. And again, what frustrates me about this is these are all people I admire a lot. Like them all a lot. Believe in them. They're good people. They're all good men that are, you know, smart and trying to do the right thing. And, you know, politics is hard.
So
it's a big boy sport.
How many shots were we up to?
Oh, God. I've got us at 20. If you drink for shovel ready, kick the can, or throw under the bus... you've got a full fifth in you by now.
Wow. Oh, sure. Boy. That's going to be a great party.
7:23 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson. What should you look for in a church? Allow me to give you three things. Look for a church that exalts the Savior, a church that equips the saints, and a church that evangelizes the sinner. And by exalt the Savior, I mean a church where Christ is not just prominent, but where he's preeminent in the singing and preaching. And by equip the saints, I'm describing a place where Christians are learning the Bible and are growing in their personal walk with God. By evangelizing the sinner, I'm describing a church where the congregation is together focused on giving the good news of the gospel to the community around them. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to get involved in a church with these three ingredients, and you'll find yourself in a healthy church.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi, but you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction, 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
Details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
I believe that until proven guilty, every man, woman, and child in this country is innocent. And that's why I fight for you, Albuquerque.
Better call Saul.
You know, sometimes it's not that you need a criminal lawyer, it's that you need a criminal lawyer.
Right. I love that
come
quote.
With me now. Come with me now.
John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Let's see here. We've got an accident that just happened on Gulf Breeze Parkway and Cohen Road. And we're seeing some delays in both the east-west direction associated with that. I-10 eastbound is still seeing some delays between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through the construction zone. Highway 90 southbound as you come into Pensacola, seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay in Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10, about a 5 to 7 minute congestion delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You know, I'm watching Dan Bongino, the deputy director for the FBI, is on Fox News, and you ever notice that his haircut makes him look a little bit like a monk?
Where you know, did you come up with
it? Just kind of looks like that to me. You know, like he just got back from the monastery. Probably not accurate. Let's see.
I was like, where did you come
from? You'll never be able to not see it from now on.
No.
Hey, if you need heating, air conditioning, plumbing, or electrical work, Peden can take care of you for that. You know, they've been doing that for more than 50 years all along the Gulf Coast. And, you know, back in 1969, Robert Peden just started a company thinking, hey, I'll do air conditioning. I'll make people in Florida be less hot. And look at this. All these years later, from Tallahassee all the way to Mobile, they take care of all those things. Good quality installation, good quality parts, well-trained technicians, 100% satisfaction guarantee. So any of that complicated stuff inside your home, they can take care of it. At Peden, when you choose the repair that their professionals recommend, they will waive the dispatch fee. Plus, you'll get a full year of SmartCare membership free included in the price of the repair. Call or book online or get more information at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N. Com. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The agency in charge of the U.S. nuclear stockpile is set to furlough most of its staff today due to the government shutdown. The National Nuclear Security Administration plans to send notices to 1,400 of its employees. They will keep about 400 people on staff for the moment to guard their stockpile.
Skeleton crew is all we really need for the nuclear weapons. That's fine. Yeah. Or is it the waste? What did you say, weapons or waste?
Stockpile. The weapons.
Oh, fantastic. Good.
Secretary of War Pete Hegseth says there's been another attack on an alleged drug trafficking boat. In a post on X, Hegseth said the strike, which was carried out on Friday, targeted a vessel affiliated with Colombia's National Liberation Army. And the test gets just a bit tougher today for those seeking U.S. citizenship. Green card holders who file for citizenship will have to answer about twice as many questions correctly during the civics interview test that tests their knowledge of U.S. history, politics, and government.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Saturday Night Live was a waste of your time, except for just a couple of moments during Weekend Update, which David reminded me of.
President Trump announced that another alleged drug smuggling boat from Venezuela has been blown out of the water without warning. And you may not think that's a big deal right now, but one day soon, you'll look at yourself in the mirror and realize you're out of cocaine.
No. No.
I don't know. I mean, it was the only thing where there was a terrible at Saturday Night Live.
Hundreds of people in Portland sent a message to ICE to leave their city by riding their bikes naked through the rain. And you're not going to believe this. It didn't work.
I mean, Sabrina Carpenter drops F-bombs live on TV when she's singing her song.
Wow.
I don't even know what the cold open was. It was terrible. But they could have done a satire on the No Kings protest. You know, the biggest event from over the weekend. They could have made fun of the protesters. Ripe for satire. Nope.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Violence flares up in the Middle East, but Hamas leaders said they don't know anything about an attack in Rafah, leaving two Israeli soldiers dead.
Israel responded with about 100 airstrikes. The Israeli government says that Hamas militants emerged from a tunnel, fired an anti-tank rocket at one of its positions. The IDF says it will respond forcefully to any violation of the ceasefire agreement.
Fox's Rich Edson, Vice President J.D. Vance indicated it could be traveling to Israel. Today, Israel's airport authority announcing preparations for the VP's arrival at Tel Aviv's airport tomorrow morning. Partial government shutdown now reaches 20 days. Arizona Republican Congressman Andy Biggs speaking to Fox.
A couple of Democrat senators recently indicated that they think this is going to go till at least the 1st of November. And so that's another 2 weeks.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 60 degrees. We've got clear skies, sunshine this morning in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast here in just a few minutes. Police in Spanish Fort investigating today after a body was found in a vehicle that was on the causeway. The incident is believed to be a murder-suicide. One person's dead after a shooting on Langley Avenue Sunday. Officials say two people were shot just before 7 a.m. Sunday morning and taken to the hospital. One victim later died from his injuries. Right now, there's no word on a suspect or a motive, but if you have any information, contact Pensacola Police or call Crime Stoppers. Protesters hit the streets all across the nation over the weekend in response to policies put in place by President Trump. The No Kings protests happened in communities across the U.S. In Pensacola, protesters rallied at 9th and Airport near the Cordova Mall. A second group was reported near Graffiti Bridge. Some of the big issues protesters were against included the ongoing ICE raids in communities across the nation, the dismantling of the U.S. Department of Education, budget cuts, and, of course, the ongoing government shutdown. Women's philanthropic group Impact 100 announced their 12 grant recipients for this year. Each nonprofit gets $103,500.
We love this community.
Impact!
We treasure the nonprofits in our community.
Impact!
Who are we?
Impact!
And Impact 100 President Martha Holden there speaking right after those announcements were made at the Hilton Pensacola Beach last night. A few of the nonprofits that received grants include Children's Home Society of Florida, Greater Pensacola Junior Golf Association, the Legal Services of North Florida, Wounded Veterans Relief Fund, Feeding the Gulf Coast, several others as well. 12 grants were awarded in total. Impact 100 members donate $1,000. The organization had 1,241 members for 2025. FHP is asking for help identifying a person that was hit by a car on Mobile Highway over the weekend. That happened near the intersection with Fairfield Avenue, and officials say the victim was hit crossing the road and taken to Sacred Heart Hospital in critical condition. The 22-year-old driver did sustain minor injuries in the crash. The victim was a white female, late 50s, early 60s, with blonde hair, wearing a black and yellow dress and white Crocs. If you have any information on her identity, contact the Florida Highway Patrol. Well, a discovery in Palm Beach County may mean a threat to President Trump. Fox News Digital reporting that the Secret Service found an elevated hunting stand. This was last week near Palm Beach International Airport. That stand apparently had a direct line of sight to where President Trump generally exits Air Force One when landing at that airport. The FBI is currently investigating. It's 7:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
If you're on Avalon Boulevard southbound headed toward I-10, we're seeing some delays due to an earlier accident, about a 9 to 11 minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, about a 5 to 7 minute delay. And I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Through that construction zone, we're seeing our congestion construction delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Right now we've got 60 degrees, sunshine this morning. It's a beautiful Monday morning here in Pensacola. Our next news at 8. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Trump administration has agreed to forgive student debt under income-driven repayment programs it had partially blocked. Higher education expert Mark Kantrowitz estimates that more than 2.5 million borrowers are either in or about to be in the income contingent repayment plan or the pay-as-you-earn plan. Universal and Blumhouse's horror sequel Black Phone 2 kicked off spooky season with $26.5 million from North American theaters. Those ticket sales were enough to lead an otherwise sleepy weekend at the domestic box office. Gucci owner Kering said it has agreed to sell its beauty business to L'Oreal for roughly $4.6 billion and a major shift in strategy by new CEO Luca De Meo as he moves to tackle the luxury group's high debt and refocus on its core fashion business. Under the deal, French beauty giant L'Oreal will acquire Kering's fragrance line, Creed. Futures are slightly higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 238, the NASDAQ up 117. That's your money now.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us this Wednesday at 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us this Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. the best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery. So when people play, students win. Visit FloridaBrightFutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Good morning. It's the Pensacola Morning News. I'm Andrew McKay, and Jimmy Patronis, our congressman. I feel like that music always sets us up for happy success. Like, it de-escalates whatever tension was in the air when we bring on our congressman. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Jimmy? No, is he there? I cannot hear him.
I'm here. Good morning.
Huh? You can hear him in your head? Okay, so
I can hear you.
We have this really weird thing with the way that my...
I can hear you.
There we go. Okay.
I can hear you.
Thank you. Sorry about that, Jimmy. I have a piece of technology that I use that was bought at a flea market for $4. I don't know. It's so frustrating. And it always gets screwed up over the weekend. So first interview on a Monday morning is when I find out whether it's working or not. Anyway, sorry about that. It's my fault. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Great to be with you.
So speaking of setting up for success. Okay, so shutdown, people may not know. Even I didn't. I asked you off the air. Are you here? Are you there? You're back. You're home, right? You're in district.
I'm in district. And this is the way that myself and a lot of us feel. The House did our job. We passed a clean CR. I mean, literally, this is an extension of the last budget that was passed under Biden, okay? Or CR passed under Biden. So this is, our job's been done. Now it's a matter for the Senate to get their act together.
So, I mean, there's nothing for you guys to do until the Senate unlocks themselves, basically, right? You've done your job. You passed this continuing resolution, and you're just waiting for them.
Correct.
All right. Any indication that this is going to happen anytime soon? I mean, I asked the same thing last week. I'll probably ask you the same thing next week. I mean, do we have any indication that this is going to be over?
I think as long as government shut down, and now some people, well, I'll say this, a lot of people, when they see me, they stop me and they say, hold the line. They don't want to see any more spending push forward through any type of modified CR. I've yet to hear anything but that type of support from the district. I think the concerns are until there's probably a turning point moment with the Democrats in the Senate, that they may continue to hold on. Don't forget, the harder Chuck Schumer digs in, the harder his state of New York cheers him. So
we're waiting for them to figure it out, I guess. Okay. No Kings protests over the weekend, so-called No Kings protests. I think it's funny that you can protest against despotism and tyranny in a place where the despot tyrant allows you to protest against him. It's not typically what you'd see, like, in, say, Tehran or Pyongyang. So,
Love the fact that we have a freedom of speech, and at least by all indications, people behave themselves. At least I didn't see any outbursts of violence that were covered by the national media. So, but if there was violence, they wouldn't show it anyway. So.
Well, I think there was just a couple of minor, and I think there was tear gas used in LA or something, you know, but, you know, for millions of people out protesting the president, for there to only be a couple of incidents, you know, it seems like a win. I do think it's weird that the people staging these demonstrations were bragging about the fact that they were peaceful, which, I mean, you kind of take that as granted. The Constitution protects peaceful assembly. It does not protect unpeaceful assembly. It'd be like me going on the radio and bragging how I didn't defame anybody today. Like, you know, like I didn't break any laws today. So it's a weird thing to, but I guess people were predicting that there was going to be violence. And so I guess they feel like they have to justify the fact that there wasn't, right?
Yeah, it's just like bragging that, hey, I got up out of bed this morning and, you know, I brushed my teeth.
Right.
So, wow.
Look at me today. No murders. Woohoo. You know, it's kind of an odd thing to flex about. I did want to ask you about speaking, because we're in this realm. There are things that President Trump does that give me worry. Lots of things that President Trump does that give me worry. And seeing him or the Department of Justice with or without his input, seeming to go after people like, you know, Letitia James and James Comey and now John Bolton. And I know that each case is its own case, but these things concern me. I mean, the perception that it's retaliation against political enemies should never be, that should never be the case.
I think, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw rocks. And I think you've got a series of political persecutions against Trump that arguably I fought against. I thought they were out of line. Now you see them being overturned in the courts. And so now you've got, you know, people are pointing out things that these individuals have done that were technically against a law. I don't know all the laws are being there exactly being charged. So you know what? They'll have their day in court. But I think it's important to note that a lot of this work's being done in a grand jury in Virginia, which is not known to be a bastion of Trump supporters.
Yeah.
And this is juries of their peers that are doing these indictments. So, I mean, it's about as fair of a process as you would hope to be able to be presented, even if you were, you know, perceived as a political enemy.
We're talking to Jimmy Patronis. He is our congressman for District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Avalon Boulevard southbound headed toward I-10 is seeing about a 9 to 11 minute delay in that area. Also, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 through that construction zone is about 11 to 15 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it. You had a couple of very interesting posts in the last day or two. One was you wrote, "I'm done with NIL, name, image, likeness. Enormous pots of money thrown at high school kids is destroying college football. Amateur athletics is getting poisoned. If they want to be paid, go straight to the NFL." So this was brought about because the athletes felt like they were not being taken care of by the colleges and they were having their likenesses abused without any compensation. You think we've swung too far or what? I mean, what's your kind of, what's your solution to the problem?
Totally think we swung too far. One, I think pick a date certain in the future, ideally at least a minimum of 4 years from now, so nobody is disenfranchised. And then this thing sunsets. You go back to the way it was. You know, at the end of the day, I don't know, but I think free room and board, free education, free national, in some cases, maybe international exposure, all these things have enormous value, especially if you're considering taking yourself to the next level. So I know there's people saying, oh, well, these kids are being taken advantage of and exploited. Well, I do think that individual decided that's where they wanted to go. And by the way, everything they're being given to for free is worth tens of thousands, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars, especially based on whatever medical assistance, expertise, sports training is going along with their ability to perform on that field. Now, if we want to create some type of opportunity for a stipend, some type of deferred compensation after they leave school at a certain age, I'm fine for all of that. But these young men and women are not mentally capable of managing the type of money that's being thrown at, and you're just ruining them. You're ruining young lives at an early age. Maybe there'll be an evolution, but you know, as I see it, I look at what, you know, I spent a lot of time in fiscal literacy when I was a CFO, and it's a never-ending battle to help young men and women understand the magnitude of managing their budget, let alone when you're throwing millions of dollars at them.
Oh, man. It's, I mean, it's like basic Dave Ramsey stuff. The best way to ruin a person who can't handle a small budget is giving them a big budget, right? I mean, that's the single best way to ruin them. You bring up something in your mentioning that it should be done away with in 4 years. Gives me a second to kind of, I don't know, jaw with you a little bit about something. It's long been my view that every piece of legislation, every single one, should come with two basic elements. Number one, a sunset date, that this only is 100%. In place until 5 years, 10 years, some specific date. And number two, a set of criteria. You know, these are the criteria for evaluating whether it was successful or whether it was not. And you can always, you know, you can always renew it if it's successful. But we get into, I always think of, like, Vietnam is my illustration. We get into a war with no objectives, no end date. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know how we're fighting it. And that was a problem. And the same thing with legislation. We just add these laws, no criteria for evaluation, and no need to come back and revisit whether they're working or not. Thoughts?
No, hey, I 100% in lockstep on you with that. Every great idea that has become an agency, a law, or a function of government, what happens is whoever was that originator of it, they die, they leave, they get beat. And then it becomes this massive, out-of-control, poorly managed bureaucracy because nobody has the vision or appetite to do what it was originally intended to do. I think every special district, everything should have a forced sunset to have to go out and prove to the public that it deserves still to exist and that their mission is still worthwhile or that law still. But, and look, granted, I know there can be an extreme case, like let's take murder, for example, and I would think murder, if somebody files a bill that I want to renew the murder law, I'm sure without any hesitation, it would get renewed.
Right. The things that should be renewed will renew. The things that should be questioned will be questioned. And the things that should die off of the vine will die off of the vine. I mean, that's... Yeah, that's the idea. It's kind of zero-based budgeting when you apply it to legislation. Hey, on the NIL thing, just a follow-up question on that. So what do you think about having the transfer portal be so easily available for all these student athletes? I mean, that the free agency within college sports to me is one of the problems. But then again, I see like Bo Nix goes from Alabama to Oregon. He thrives. He goes to the NFL. I mean, like, I see the advantage too.
So I think with NIL, they have one free transfer per college career. And then they're stuck. Now, if they want to transfer a second time, then they have to give up a year of eligibility. Or then they have to, and that giving up that 1 year eligibility may be they redshirt. So you give them some tools to make that flexibility. But, man, you're one and done, okay?
Yeah.
You can't go and just chase the dollars because this school's giving you $8 million and this one's going to give you 10. You made the decision just because your athletic ability excelled at the $8 million college, yeah, you'll get that one chance to move and get 10 somewhere else. But, you know, I think the dollars have poured gas on the NIL problem and exacerbated it.
Yeah, put some guardrails in. That makes sense to me. Hey, last thing, we're talking to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. You also posted a thing yesterday on Twitter X where you said you want to personally thank Donald Trump, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, for blowing up Venezuelan drug cartel boats and submarines. I have two boys. You're right. I have two boys, and with every blown-up boat, I see less American boys and girls dying of fentanyl. You and I have talked a little bit about the justification for the use of force, the criteria, making sure that we're not just killing people indiscriminately and all of that. But this is a pretty hot take by you that, you know, hey, fewer drug boats is fewer people dying from fentanyl.
I look at it as the United States is the single largest market for illegal drugs that put more lives at risk than anywhere else in the world. So if Donald Trump takes the intelligence that they're getting and makes those decisions that these are boats bound for the most lucrative, rich market in the whole world, and we deter them from coming through force, then you know what? We're saving lives. You know what? That means that's less kids being responded to by 911 calls by our first responders. That's less fentanyl. That's less emergency rooms. And that's less broken hearts. So, I mean, you know, this stuff is bad. And I'm not, I never voted for any level of any type of expansion of the recreational marijuana. So, you'll support gateway drugs. I don't support gateway drugs. I don't support drugs, period. Hell, I hardly even drink a beer. So, I mean, all I just know is that stuff leads to bad outcomes. And if we set it back 10, 15 years, 5 years, all those are lives we're saving every day.
What are we doing in Central and South America right now? And I ask that because we've got Venezuela, which we seem to be on the verge of going to war with, or close. We have Argentina, which we're bailing out with tens of billions of dollars. We have now Colombia has become a center point in the news. And, you know, I mean, I know Marco Rubio is very emphatic about Central and South America. He always has been, and I appreciate that about him.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, as an average American, you know, you don't hear anything about Central and South America, but once a decade, and here we are on, like, three major things going on. What's your perception? What's going on here in Trump's mind?
Well, I think you've had 4 years of an administration that was in place where a lot of things were allowed to grow at an exponential rate, and so different than those human trafficking and drug and gun smuggling operations that exploded during the Biden years when the border was open. And now it's time to trim the bushes. It's time to put those operations back and where they're at, where they don't have this ability just in the next 4 years, if the administration changes, that somebody allows those guys to just spring up their operations again overnight because they're sitting there laying in wait in other Central American or South American countries. You know, I think it's President Trump trying to set these guys back a generation.
So it's partially it was neglected. Partially it's just a matter of, you know, where there's areas of influence that have languished. Would you put it in the context of like the Panama stuff with China, that it's all, you know, we got to take care of our own backyard if we're going to be safe from foreign influence? I mean, it's kind of all of that packaged together. Is that how you view it?
All the above. And again, and I'm just coming off the top rail with what Jimmy feels like is the lay of the land there. I've not gotten any briefings on it, but I just know what I saw firsthand and understood firsthand at the southern border in Texas last year. And I was blown away by what was taking place. And unfortunately, here's the other thing that happens is the amount of cash that is flowing through these markets to get to the U.S. border. And then you get to the point where even there are instances where those people in that process along those borders are getting paid off. So you know what? You've got to knock these guys back. You know what? They you'll never get rid of them, but you can't allow their operations to be so robust where they can pay off every individual in their path in order to get to the most lucrative market in the whole world, which is the United States that kills our kids.
Or threaten them, you know, either way, right? You know, and I get it. If you're going to really take seriously the threat from drugs, then you don't just push back by putting up a wall. You push back all the way into the origin source and, you know, try to dismantle some of the networks that make that happen. I see that. I see that picture. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for Florida's District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, as always, great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again soon. Actually, I think we'll see you in studio on Friday, so looking forward to that.
Friday, yeah. So we're going to take some live questions. Are you going to be able to manage that?
Oh, not yet. Of course. Absolutely. I promise we'll make the technology work. My $4 flea market part of work. I promise.
Be nice to the boss. He's just keeping you up and running. And
he is. They definitely are. Jimmy, we'll talk to you on Friday, sir. Thanks for the time. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola experienced about a 7 to 9 minute delay. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 29 southbound just south of 9 Mile Road, seeing a major delay in that area also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Join Don Dorman and guest Dr. Fleming from Ochsner Navant Health 65 Plus tomorrow at 10. This month's topic is breast cancer awareness. Ochsner Navant Health 65 Plus offers customized primary care, nutrition and fitness coaching, community events, and more. Two locations in Pensacola, 9 Mile and Bellevue. Respectful, tailored, compassionate. Tune in tomorrow.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Only a few days remain for the biggest and best fair, the Pensacola Interstate Fair. Free exhibits, fun, food, games, and more. Over 50 rides to thrill you. Free shows by Neil McCoy, Chris Jansen, Easton Corbin, Tristan Harper, Bluff It, a Jimmy Buffett tribute, and White Tie Rock Ensemble. Plus the livestock auction, $20 wristband day, Midnight Madness, Mana Food Pantry's Can Drive Day, and Last Blast Family Day. Get tickets and details at PensacolaFair.com.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
But they are pros. They only hang out with each other. Then we must go pro! But going pro's not that easy. It's political, obviously.
Obviously, it's political. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, somebody says, did Jimmy Patronus just diss our station? No, it was me. I was the one who said it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The test gets a little tougher today for those seeking U.S. citizenship. Green card holders who file for citizenship will have to answer twice as many questions correctly during the civics interview, which tests knowledge of U.S. history, politics, and government. NFL Pro Bowl running back and Tampa Bay Buccaneers star Doug Martin has died. The family said the 36-year-old passed away over the weekend. The cause of death is currently unconfirmed. He was known as the Muscle Hamster, was voted one of the 50 best players in Bucs history. Look, this is what it says here. I personally can't confirm that.
I have no idea what to make of that nickname, the Muscle Hamster. Okay. All right. On the test, they went from 6 out of 10 to 12 out of 20. So same percentage, but a higher number. You're listening.